scripture reading for this prayer day service and prayer meeting is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Let us hear God's word. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. As far as God's holy and infallible word to us this evening. The congregation, with God's help, we wish to consider with you a portion of the passage we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read 7 through 9. 7 through 9. The heart of the passage that we wish to consider is verse 8, Paul's prayer. Begin at verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, that is the Lord Jesus, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our theme is the blessings of no. The blessings of no. First, we wish to consider a painful need. Second, a perceived denial. And third, a profitable resolution. A painful need. Paul had a painful thorn in the flesh, and we all know at least something of an experience like that, that we have been hurt, pricked by a thorn, or we've had a splinter under our nail, or perhaps a bee sting in our neck, something that was very hurtful. I don't know what the thorn was, what he really had as a thorn. We know that it likely was not physical. It may have been something physical, but it was more than that. He speaks of an angel, a messenger of Satan buffeting him. He had plenty of physical infirmities. He would have mentioned them as he's done elsewhere. If you look at the previous chapter, chapter 11, several verses where he lists all the things he endured physically. But climaxing that in the things that he mentally and especially spiritually endured, a messenger, an angel, or a demon of Satan buffeting him, battering and bruising him. That was obviously something that he painfully experienced. And maybe not seen by anyone else. That often is the most painful suffering when you're all alone. The people knew that he had physical infirmities and that he suffered many things. But maybe it's just like that with you too. Not seen by others. As we really have seen with Job, Job's sufferings didn't end after that first day. It only intensified. And much of that was physical indeed, but much more was mental and spiritual. And even more so, of course, with the Lord Jesus. Crowned with thorns, pressed on his head so that the sweat would drip down his face. And then he was pierced, hands and feet and his side. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's like a cry that you hear in verse 8, for this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. That it would depart, that it would be pulled out. It was a lawful cry, a lawful petition. It was a heartfelt prayer. It came from his heart. It's a legitimate cry, and God could have removed it. And he often does. When we pray for afflictions to be removed from our lives, the Lord sometimes graciously does so, but not always. Sometimes he does give relief and health when we pray for that. God does that, and he wants us even to pray for these things. We may pray on prayer day for all the things that burden us, that we look up against. We must even lay it before the Lord. We may ask for a blessing when we have surgery. We may ask for a blessing when we take medications. Children and young people, you ask that the Lord will give you a good grade at school for a paper or a test you have to write. You pray for safety on the road. But does it mean that you won't have an accident? We may pray, and we must pray, and we do pray for a blessing on seed time and harvest, for jobs, for our schools, Plymouth Christian as well as the PTS. We pray for these things. We pray also for our country. We pray that we may have a God-fearing president. But the Lord is not obligated to give it to us. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. We don't deserve it. And sometimes the Lord withholds things from us that, though good in and of themselves, may not be good for us at that particular time. Or he withholds blessings from us so that we would, as Paul, be driven to him. Children sometimes too. Your mom and dad would say no to you when you ask for something. Maybe you don't always understand it. Paul understood the reason. He uttered not only a heartfelt prayer, but he knew it was a hideous reason. Sin was behind it. It was repulsive, and he realized it. That's why he had that thorn. It's a persistent sin in his life, the persistent and the and the rebellious sin of pride. He knew it. Twice he says it. In verse 7, we don't know what the thorn was, but we surely know the reason. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And then at the end of the verse, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says it twice. And if you include verse 6 at the end, he says, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So he's cautioning everyone not to think too highly of himself, including himself. Lest I be exalted above measure. Lest I be puffed up with pride. He knew he was a proud man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Even after his conversion, he had to still struggle severely with his pride. God said, I give you a thorn in your flesh. So that every time you think about yourself, as we sometimes even say, the great Apostle Paul, great experiences, great revelations, drawn up even into paradise, given knowledge and understanding and discernment like no one else in his day. Every time when someone would say, great Apostle Paul, and Paul would even begin to think like it, he would feel that thorn. Whatever it is. Suddenly, a great suffering. But he knew why. And you know too, if the Lord teaches you why certain things the Lord keeps in your life, so that you would not exalt yourself, even upon grace. To be kept humble, and to be kept close to the Lord and depending upon grace. So, the question then, was it really a no that he received? I said that it's the blessings of no. And we consider it a painful need, but in the second place, a perceived denial. It looks like it. That he's being denied an answer to his prayer. It feels like it, certainly, with the painful thorn. And it was real. The pain was not imaginary. The thorn was really there. It was, in the first place, a distressing reality. Paul had a great faith. And yet he wrestled with the painful reality of the thorn that just wouldn't go away. In spite of repeated prayer, in spite of legitimate prayer. It's lawful prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying that a certain affliction would be removed. Perhaps you know something of that too. Chronic pain, grief and sorrow that just won't go away. Trials that keep continuing. Issues at work that don't get resolved. Issues in a marriage, in your family, among siblings, among friends. Issues with your children, children with your parents. Depression. That darkness that doesn't lift. Sickness. Loneliness, weakness. You think, perhaps, Lord, if I would be stronger, I could serve thee so much better. If this thorn would be removed, I could do so much more for thee. No light at the end of the tunnel. And isn't that what we've seen with Job? A dark tunnel. In the end, not in sight. Buffeting Satan. Some of us suffer publicly. It is known by everyone. You sympathize and you get a lot of sympathy. People pray for you. They tell you they're praying for you. You're covered, as it were, bathed in prayer. others suffer in silence, in privacy, in secret, perhaps have nothing to show for outwardly. But you know, and God knows, how alone you may feel at times. Just like Job, no support of a spouse, no support of a parent, no support of a friend, no church family to gather around, carrying a hidden cross, even though there may be an external cross too. But what do we know? What's behind often our masks? What really goes on inside a hidden cross, hidden thorn? And yet, we must remember, though we may feel alone, we are not alone. We may be lonely, but never alone. The Lord Jesus, God Himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have heard recently, at no time absent from us. In Him we live and move and have our being. Oh, that we would bring our thorns and our crosses to the great cross bearer, the Lord Jesus. Not only is He sympathetic, but He is able. Able to remove the thorn, but if not, to give us the grace and the strength to bear up under it. Jesus truly carried the cross alone. And He was buffeted by Satan and his demons like no one else. The Lord Jesus also prayed 3 times. Like the Apostle Paul. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. 3 times. He fell on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane to have the cup pass and the thorn removed. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, we thank God, don't we, for Him persevering in drinking that cup so we may have grace. You see, but that's what this perceived denial is all about. It is indeed a distressing reality. But second, discovered grace. You could ask the question, did the Lord Jesus really receive a no from His Father? Did Job really receive a no from God? Did Paul really receive a no from God and from Christ? It may appear like that, it may look like it may feel like it. But what we see in this passage, the Lord, as it were, saying to Paul, I will give you something better. My no is really small compared to my yes, which is far greater and far better for you. Sometimes the Lord does that. He takes it away. He will take our thorn away. But sometimes, as in this particular case, God actually gives back to Paul something far greater. And ultimately, of course, it was removed. For now, at this time, neither Job, nor Paul, nor Christ suffers a cross or a thorn. As it were, then the Lord says, I will give you a request. I will answer it. I will give you a yes. Not yet. Not yet. Beauty for ashes. As Kara recently spoke to the women about beauty for ashes, is from Isaiah 61. Oil of joy for mourning. Garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. In other words, it's all worth it. And there's enough grace. For that's really what the Lord says to Paul in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. There's enough grace, Paul, for the greatest thorn and the most severe trial and temptation I will lead you through. It's enough. Not only to get you through life, but out of life. To depart from life, to be equipped to deal with remaining sin. That's why this thorn is there. and to prepare Paul for glory. Jesus died indeed, but he arose victoriously. No cross, no crown. Jesus did for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And so all those that follow him, well, for the joy that is set before him, not only the joy that will in the future experience, but the very present fellowship, the power and the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That's the power. That's the third aspect of this perceived denial, which really was only a perception. There was no real denial. The Lord certainly answered Paul, and he certainly answers us. He doesn't give us what we ask for, but he gives us something better. He gives us something that we perhaps should have asked for. He dispenses power. For he says in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength." The word can also be translated power. The word dynamis, where we have the word dynamite from. "My strength is made perfect in weakness." In your weakness, Paul. "My power is brought to perfection, and I accomplish my purpose in your life." The best when you are weak. The word weakness can also be translated as infirmity. It's the same word that comes back in the next verse. And also in the same verse, verse 9, infirmities. And he says, "I glory in my infirmities at the power of Christ." It's the very same words, strength and weakness. So it may seem to be a no, but really it's a yes. A yes for the glory of God. A yes to real benefit and gain for the believer. For our good, even for the unbeliever. For there is no sinner too great that his grace would not be sufficient. My strength in your inability. My spirit in your unwillingness. My grace, he says, is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The weaker you are, the more my strength will be doing through you. For our present good, for our eternal good. My grace sufficient for you, no matter who you are. No matter how impossible your case may feel and seem in your own eyes. Also, regardless of the advance you may have made in grace, Paul made great advances in grace, so he got a greater thorn. Why? So that he would remember that it's all of grace. Only grace. And we need more grace. Grace upon grace. That's what the Apostle Paul needed. But as the thorn hurt, it was always enough grace for Paul to continue. And it was safe. Without the thorn, he would have broken out in pride. He would have ruined his ministry. He would have ruined our own comfort. He would have ruined our witness. Without a thorn like that. Always enough. So we need a thorn. Paul needed the thorn to be kept close to grace, to be kept humble, to be kept very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would never imagine that anything he had or did was of his own doing. And that's what you and I need. That's the blessing of no. There's a painful need. The painful need is not necessarily the thorn. The painful need is really our sin. And the perceived denial is not really a denial. It's a yes in grace and through grace. And if we walk that way, and if you're led that way, then we also, in the third place, will have a profitable resolution. Paul makes a profitable resolution. A resolution, almost like a vow, that is going to be a great blessing for him. There's really two aspects of that, briefly. The first aspect is, I need it. I need it. I will rather glory in my infirmities. I will boast in my infirmities. Weaknesses. Notice he is in plural now. Jesus spoke earlier about my strength made perfect in weakness. Now he speaks of, I will glory in my weaknesses. As it were, he says, because I have many, I'm not just having pride, but I have many other sins and weaknesses and infirmities and impossibilities in my life. I have only one thorn. I deserve more. If I look at all those, then I need many thorns. I need them. I'm ashamed. I'm humble to admit it, that I'm proud. That's one of the most elusive graces, humility. As soon as you reflect upon it, you lose it. And the only way to realize your pride is to be humbled through a way like this, that the Lord will make it very plain. What sin, what an offense sin is, or pride is to God, to be proud on anything, but to be proud on grace, on a free gift, and boast as it is something of himself, of ourselves. It's a hideous sin. It's an affront to God. Whether we are believers or unbelievers, whether we live by our own doings, our own thinking, our own feeling, our own opinions, instead of humbly submitting ourselves to the sufficient grace of God. And it's an ongoing sin. It's not only for the unbeliever, but for the believer too, to submit to this grace. All he says, I have, all I do is really by grace and by grace alone. That's why he not only needs the thorn to be humbled, but also to exalt Christ. For to be humbled alone is not enough. To grovel in the dust and in the dirt before God is not enough if it doesn't lead us to Christ. For then it's a penance. That's still pride. Somehow thinking that we can move God by our humility and by our confessing. By our weakness. Because he says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's why he glories in his weaknesses. The power, again the word strength, of Christ may rest upon me. Literally it's to fix a tent upon me. Or to overshadow me. Or to dwell in me. In other words, to be around me and within me. And when he contemplates that, he's so overwhelmed by the safety of it that he says, I don't only need it, I desire it, secondly. That's a profitable resolution. To say, not only that you need it, but you desire it. So he says in verse 9, most gladly, therefore, for that reason. Most gladly, therefore. Will I glory rather in my infirmities? Rather, instead of asking for that thorn to be moved, I will no longer ask for the removal of my thorn, but I'll embrace it. For it's worth what comes through it. I treasure that. I treasure and embrace it. Just like the Lord Jesus, not only had to come to die, to suffer and die on the cross, but it was his delight to do his Father's will. And yet he struggled really with the reality and the pain and the power of it. I desire it. He not only says, I will gladly glory, but in verse 10, we don't have the time to go into detail there, but just therefore, again the word therefore, just as in verse 9, I take pleasure in my infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. All these terrible things, he says, I take pleasure in them. And the word pleasure is here the same word that's used, good pleasure or goodwill. It's a holy delight. It's the same word that's used when it's spoken of God, when he's in his good pleasure, he'll do things. The Apostle Paul tastes something of the good pleasure of God. It's worth it. That's why he can say in another place, he would praise God to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. Because when I'm weak, powerless really, then I'm strong. And that tasting of the sufficiency and the completeness of what that means is in that word sufficient. My grace is sufficient unto thee. It's enough. My grace is enough. But there's also something in the word sufficient that can be translated as content or contentment. It satisfies. That's the only way that we can explain how martyrs sometimes can go into the flames and into terrible torture and experience something of the fullness and the good pleasure of God, that they do not feel the body and the physical pain. Is indeed Christ's grace sufficient for you? Not only that it's enough, but that the good pleasure of God may be tasted in it. Is what you need also your desire? If you so pray in this new season, beginning today, not only what you need, but that what you need may be your desire. Not only that you desire, but you desire that which you need. That is the wonderful privilege of a child of God, a true believer who is in his right place. He may ask what he wants, and he may do what he wants. The world seeks it. We by nature seek it, to do what pleases us. But by nature we seek the opposite of what God wants. But by grace we can seek what God wants us to seek. And to pray what God wants us to have. If our eyes are so fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we may ask what we want. And not only not sin, but receive what we ask. That's what Jesus said in John 16, verily, verily, to oaths, I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, whatsoever, in my name, he will give it to you. And then the next verse, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That you may taste the good pleasure of God in it. Perfect contentment. Then it doesn't matter what you need to pray for temporary needs. If your focus is on this, then all the other things shall be added unto you. May this be the prayer of every one of us. Whether you're not a believer or whether you are a believer, that you may find this to be true, there is sufficient grace. Enough and to spare, and beyond description, satisfying. Amen.